Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, welcome back, Bears fans, to this Friday edition of the CHGO Bears podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app, use promo code CHGO when you sign up. What is going on, everybody? This is a Thursday, technically Friday, episode of the CHGO Bears Will and Nick's game preview. I'm really excited for it. I'm Will DeWitt. Joining with me is Nicholas Moriano for our weekly in-depth game preview, all aimed to make you the most informed Bears fan on game day. But Nick, bro, happy belated Thanksgiving.
Appreciate that, Will. Happy Thanksgiving to you. How was your Thanksgiving dinner? What'd you end up doing? You still full?
Oh, I'm still full. You know it. Dinner was good. Went to my parents' house, and AJ, my oldest, has a real bad time of like eating when he goes to like family events because he just wants to play with all of his cousins and everything. And So we made sure he ate, and the rules were you eat until you can't eat no more. And then that's when your dinner officially begins. And he kind of had fun with that and everything. But how about you, man? I saw a big old photo of your family. It seemed like you guys had a really good time, too.
Yeah, it was a good time. I wonder if this is a questionable take. Okay, hear me out here for everyone who's listening, watching. For Thanksgiving, you usually dress up, right? Like you dress up, you're seeing family or whatever. Why? When all we do is eat a whole bunch of food, sit on the couch, watch football, play all these games, you want to be comfy. I'm wondering for the next Thanksgiving at the Moriano household, go in sweatpants, go in something comfy. You know you're going to eat until you can't eat no more and just, you know, be comfortable. I don't know if that's questionable, if that's like out of this realm, but I was thinking about that after my girlfriend and I, Stephanie, we got back. We're like, man, we're full and we're a little uncomfortable because we're all dressed up. Next time, we'll just go sweats and like a t-shirt. We're good to go. We'll see all of our family. We're still having a good time playing and eating. But I don't know, Will, is that crazy to say right now? Or am I onto something here?
I think it's always the right call after the fact. Maybe beforehand, not so much. But don't you have like dress clothes that are more modern and can stretch and things of that nature?
I do, but you can't beat, you know, a nice pair of like built sweatpants or whatever it may be. Well, as you probably know, you probably have some yourself, but like, I don't know, man. Like, yes, I do have some of that type of clothes, but it just doesn't beat sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Well, speaking of casual clothes, the CHGO locker, we're running a real massive Black Friday sale right now that I want you to just be aware of. Right now, you can get up to 50% off merch at the CHGO locker. And if you spend $75, you also get a free $15 gift card back too. And if you're a diehard at allchgo.com, you get 20% off your order on top of this sale. And so my best advice really is just go become a diehard on allchgo.com. You get a free shirt, and then you can also go to the CHGO locker, get more shirts, take advantage of this deep discounts that we're offering here this Black Friday, and collect 20% off on top of that. And not just for today, but every time you go buy merch at the CHGO locker, you get 20% off just for being a diehard. So again, you can go to allchgo.com right now, become a diehard. And if you want to look at all the shirts and all the other merch we have to offer, go to the chgolocker.com. And by the CHGO locker, I should be specific. It's just chgolocker.com. Don't try to type in the in there because you won't find it that way. But Nick, I see you wearing your QB1 shirt. I was searching through my closet before we went live for my QB slide shirt. I was really excited to wear here on the show. Can't find it. Don't know what I did with it. It maybe got shoved to a spot where it's not supposed to belong. But regardless, I made it on time. As you know, I was a little bit pressing here right before we went live. But I love that QB1 shirt. And I know the QB slide shirt's been, you know, really popular here today, too. So definitely check out everything we have to offer at the locker. I know, Nick, I'm sure you're someone that's going to take advantage of a deal like this.
Oh yeah, and you know, Will, if you can't find your QB slide shirt with the deals going on right now, you can go get another one and a couple for, you know, family members or whoever you want. But absolutely, we have a great deal going on, and it's not just the t-shirts for the Bears. Obviously, if you're a fan of all the other Chicago sports teams, check that out as well.
All right, we got a Bears game to preview here today. Before we get started, if you haven't yet, hit that like button, smash it, shatter it, bust it, break into pieces. I don't care. I just want to see that number go up. That really does help us here at CHGO, and I just appreciate you giving it a thumbs up if you're watching here at home. You can follow me on Twitter at Will DeWitt, my L's are ones, and at Nicholas Moriano. And with that, Nick, we're going to get into our game preview. Bears Jets, one-liner. What is it?
Weird. Weird, Will. That's what this game is. Just weird. I don't know. Like the emoji going like this. That's what I kept thinking about as I was kind of thinking about this game, preparing for this show. And, you know, with me being at MetLife this weekend, it's just weird. What about you?
Mine is Don't You Dare Do It. And if, okay. I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about there. And that is Don't You Dare Play Justin Fields. And I know you saw him throwing some footballs yesterday at practice. How'd it look?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, not extensive workload for Justin Fields, and we were able to watch the first 10 minutes, and it seemed like, you know, the Bears wanted us to kind of see that portion too, to maybe put out those videos of Justin Fields throwing passes, but it wasn't anything too, you know, strenuous on the shoulder or his non-throwing shoulder, just kind of short passes. But Justin Fields was out there and throwing some passes to his receivers and some pretty light work. But yeah, now that's out there. I still don't know, Will. I just have no idea with this game. And like you said, don't you do it, you know, don't you do it. Well, I just don't know if the Bears are or are not going to allow him to play.
No, it's don't you dare do it. The dare true. Is very important in that line. I saw a comment from Cody saying that we're hard to keep up with just with changing names between Bears Bros Audible and now CHGO. But we didn't choose to change our name the first time, Nick. Like the NFL, of course, their hands there. Then, of course, the opportunity to join CHGO and everything we're building here, that was just a life offer that you do not pass up. So I appreciate you, though, Cody, keeping with us despite a few of the name changes and rebrands throughout the last 7 years. But I just wanted to give you some kudos for sticking with Nick and I through it all, regardless of the name changes. But let's go ahead and get into our keys to success here for this Bears-Jets game, and we'll begin on offense. Nick, what's your first key this week?
Yeah, just looking, again, not knowing who exactly is going to play quarterback, but it's really executing blocks. And when I think back to that Bears-Falcons game, think of Braxton Jones on that 3rd and 5 play where it is a design rollout for Fields, and he goes to block the same guy as David Montgomery. And that's something that can't consistently happen if the Bears are going to try to have any success offensively on Sunday versus the Jets. But this also goes for executing blocks in the passing game, right? Mm-hmm. With that Jets front seven, you miss a block, you don't pick up a stunt, a twist, you're going to get whoever that quarterback is killed. So executing blocks in the run pass game is going to be huge. And just knowing your assignment and that play that I was just referencing earlier was the same play that the Bears ran on the very first play of the last drive where Justin Fields got hurt. And again, the play, the defensive back went inside of Braxton Jones this time, and then that allowed him to get pressure on Justin Fields. So really, it's executing blocks. Well, if the Bears can somewhat do that on Sunday, it's going to increase their chances of actually showing some kind of offensive life against the Jets.
Yeah, and that leads into my first key, because without yours, mine doesn't happen. And I went very straightforward. Don't get the quarterback killed. I don't know if it's going to be Justin. I don't know if it's going to be Trevor. But regardless of who's under center, the Bears need to do their damnedest to not allow that quarterback to get killed this Sunday. And here's why. Quinnen Williams has been the most effective pass rusher amongst interior defensive linemen, not just for the Jets, but for the entire NFL. His pass rush productivity score is 8.5, which is the top of the league. He has 9 sacks, 9 quarterback hits, 19 hurries, 37 total pressures. That's just the inside. Let's bounce out and look at the edges. You have Carl Lawson and John Franklin Myers, and they are no slouches out there. They have 11 sacks combined, 18 quarterback hits, 54 total pressures. And then you have a rotational guy called Bryce Huff that's super effective when he's out there too. 3 sacks, 20 pressures this year, despite playing less than 100 snaps so far on defense. He has big bang for the buck mentality when he is out there. So for the Bears, you have Riley Reiff. He's given up 2 sacks over the last 2 weeks. Do we get Larry Borum back this week? We will find out. Michael Schofield, he was an issue last week. It does look like you have Tevin Jenkins back, so he was a full go at practice. And they're going to really need Jenkins to win that matchup against Williams, Mustafa, White here. They're also going to have to step up because William lines up all over the inside of that defensive line. And like I said, both tackles, they're going to be tested all game long between Lawson, Franklin Myers, and Huff. So the Bears, they're going to have to win their one-on-one matchups. They're going to need to at least and expect them to give some help with the running backs, the tight ends. And Nick, I know you said you have to win these blocks, but when I look at this front for the Jets, I don't have a lot of confidence.
No, I don't either, Will. It's really tough with all the guys that they have. Luke Getsy called this front seven yesterday unbelievable. And it really is. The depth that they have, the quality of pass rushes that they get, how they do it, they really are a really good unit. And this can lead into my second key for the offense. Checkdowns are okay, Will. Checkdowns are going to be more than okay in this game against the Jets because of that pressure that they have. And when you look at what the Patriots were able to do offensively against the Jets, again, only 10 total points and 7 of the touchdown came on a punt return. They were moving the ball. 246 yards for Mac Jones. A lot of underneath stuff, short to intermediate. That works. That will keep the offense on the field for a little bit. And honestly, with not knowing who's going to play a quarterback on Sunday, if it is Trevor Siemian, that's probably what you got to go to. Because you hold that ball for any longer than you're supposed to, one of these guys is going to get to you. And you talked about Quincy and Quinnen Williams. Like, Quincy really works off of Quinnen when he takes on those double teams of linebacker too. Mm-hmm. So these guys know how to play in sync with each other. So if David Montgomery's in the flat for maybe 3 to 4 yards, you take what you can. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of those big shots downfield given the Bears offensive line, how it's playing. It'll be a nice upgrade to have Tevin Jenkins there in for Michael Schofield, but not knowing if it is Siemian or Fields, and even if it was Fields, this just doesn't seem like a good matchup this Sunday to go and try to get these big explosive plays down the field, because you're probably just not going to have time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of our keys this week are similar because it's purposeful, because it's very, I think when I look at this matchup, it's just very cut and dry. Like, you just know really how the Jets match up against this Bears team and the key success and how they need to approach this game. And that's why my second key is just stay on schedule. And again, doesn't matter who's at quarterback, the goal remains the same. The offense just needs to be rhythmic and on schedule. Mm-hmm. Nick, you had a lot of great points about the quarterbacks not having a lot of time to like sit back and get comfortable in the pocket to allow some of these longer developing plays to unfold this week. You're not going to be able to buy a bunch of extra time and kind of get some of these off schedule completions either. That pass rush is just not going to allow it to happen. So the Bears need to get the ball out quick, as you were talking about. And that's just been the best approach when going against this defense or opponents all year long. Because the Jets are going to force you to beat them with underneath stuff, quick throws to the perimeter, you name it. Over the last 3 weeks, the Jets give up the third lowest yards per completion, 8.3. And on the year, they're also the sixth best defense here, allowing 9.3 yards per catch all season long. And they have a good blend of pass rush and cover guys. That just makes it very difficult to hit these deep shots. Really makes it hard to pass at all. The Jets do give up the second lowest pass rating on the year at 77.2. And really, I said, you know, stay on schedule. That also just means don't play behind the sticks against this unit. You can't take sacks. It's probably going to happen here, Nick. You have to try to limit the sacks, limit the penalties, the false starts, the holds that put you in these longer to go situations. Because when you get into these third, second and longs, that's when this defense can really start to pin their ears back and get after offenses. It's hard to sustain drive against the Jets when you're in third and long, especially 10 plus. So you just got to stay in manageable. You got to stay on schedule and you have to get the ball out quick.
No, absolutely. Well, it was funny when I was rewatching the Jets Patriots game. The very first play of the game for the Jets defense, they run a stunt and sack Mac Jones. And I just immediately put my hands to my face. Was like, oh boy, this is already off to a rough start. And just seeing, you know, envisioning what could happen on Sunday with the Bears offense, you know, a lot of bad things could happen with that Jets defense and how they play.
100%. It's not looking good. And like you, I was not feeling super confident about the Bears' ability to kind of like stop some of the stunts, like you just mentioned. What's your final key this week?
Ooh, final key for offense? I don't got one, Will, because ooh, I reverted back to my 2-3.
You tricked
me. I got
me.
You there. Yes, I did.
That's fine. I thought you may have not had a second one when he kind of passed it back to me after my second key. And I was like, but I at least had to open the floor to allow you to at least verify that for me. But I'll get into my final key real quick. And it builds off my last one, which is just extend the run game. The Jets boast the sixth best run defense in terms of yards per attempt allowed at 4. They're also a better unit at home. They give up 4.4 yards per carry at home versus only 4 yards per carry allowed at home. And they also give up the 8th fewest rushing yards per game at home at 106. So whether Fields plays or doesn't, you know, the Jets won't likely have to worry about him as a rusher, because if he's playing, you know, he's not going to want to take all these extra runs and potentially these hits. And without him on the field and Trevor Siemian, you don't have a true running threat at quarterback there. So a lot of the weight this week is going to fall on David Montgomery's shoulders. He finished last week with 67 yards rushing and a 3.9 average. That 67 was tied for his second highest mark this season for those keeping score at home. He also accounted for 54 yards receiving and 18 yards per catch last week, which was the second most he's had this year. And Nick, we're just going to have to see, you know, a lot from David Montgomery, and I think a lot of the same stuff. The Jets do a good job of bottling up backs. As I mentioned, looking at their last three games, they allowed Damian Harris to get to 65 yards on the ground, Devin Singletary to only 24, and Melvin Gordon and Latavius Murray for the Broncos only 57 yards combined. And the Bears losing 2/3 of like the heads that they had at that rushing attack is going to be a very tough blow to overcome. But extending their ground game, maybe you can find more success getting Montgomery involved in the pass game. When you look at the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson was the leading receiver against the Jets. He had around 50 yards. Singletary had 4 catches. Gordon had a couple himself a few weeks ago. And it's not just the running backs. Get the wide receivers involved here. This quick passing game that you were talking about, get the screen game going. We're supposed to have these top-notch blocking wide receivers. Let's see that kind of happen. Jet sweeps, pop passes, quick rub routes to get you, you know, 3 to 5 yard gains. That's fine. That's just extensions of the running game that can allow you to be in manageable situations. So I think that will help, you know, the quarterback, that will help David Montgomery, and just take off the pressure off both of those players really this week if they can find ways to extend the running game instead of having to do it the traditional way.
Yeah, well, that's going to be huge. And man, if the screen game could actually do something for the Bears, that would be great, because that really has been an element to this Bears offense that, you know, Luke Getsy's tried to call up, but we haven't seen a lot of big passing plays from that. That would be an extension to the run game, but the Bears haven't quite executed that level of the passing game. And again, just another element the Bears still need to continue to work on.
And this is the matchup to hopefully find a way to get it done, because you're not going to be able to pass it deep on this defense. So finding these short plays and, again, extending the run game is just a great way to add an extra wrinkle to force the Jets to defend. Let's switch over to this Bears defense now. They have themselves, you know, I wouldn't say it's the toughest challenge we've seen so far this year, Nick, but at the same time, this Bears defense, to be frank, it isn't good. So let's find out how they stack up against an offense that also isn't good. What's your first key on defense this week?
Yeah, just looking at this Bears defense, I think they need to start with just finishing plays. I think of Nicholas Morrow almost making that interception last week against Marcus Mariota. I asked him about the play yesterday in the locker room, like, hey, Nick, what happened there? And he said, man, I was just falling backwards, and yeah, I should have made the play, but as I was falling backwards, I just, you know, kind of lost. I'm like, all right, still made the good play there, but finishing that one. Then I think on the opposite end, what happens when you do finish plays? Well, Jaquan Brisker, you know, causing that fumble by tracking down Cordarrelle Patterson. See the benefit of that. And then I think of another negative towards the end of the game. Jack Sanborn getting in the backfield on 3rd and 1, tackles high on Cordarrelle Patterson, is able to make it a more manageable 4th down attempt. The Falcons end up going for it and end up getting a field goal on that drive. Maybe could have taken them out of field goal range. But, you know, it's like those plays right there, finishing, could be huge in what the Bears are trying to become defensively, but we've just seen so much inconsistency with that, that if that continues in this game against the Jets, a not good offense, a new quarterback's coming in, you're giving that Jets team life to continue drives, to continue making plays, but it starts with finishing, so we need to start seeing that happen more consistently with Allen Williams' defense.
1,000,000%. I will more than co-sign everything you just said there, Nick. My first key is Wilson, which is Garrett Wilson and not Zach Wilson. But by and large, like the biggest threat that the Jets have on offense this year has been Garrett Wilson, the rookie that we actually looked into a bit when we were doing our research and wide receivers in this draft. And then he quickly went up the draft boards and got out of the Bears' reach. So that just wasn't really an obtainable thing for us this offseason. But so far this year, the rookie has 44 catches, 533 yards, but only the two touchdowns. But still, like between the 20s, he's been very productive this year. And with Mike White at quarterback, you know he's going to want to go to like a hot hand to build some chemistry, to build some confidence when he's out there on the field. Last year, when Mike White played for the Jets, he leaned on Jameson Crowder a lot. And I can see the same happening here with Garrett Wilson. So the Bears both having Gordon and Brisker in concussion protocol is a concern here. And if the Bears can limit Wilson's impact, keep him in check, to force the Jets to beat you with someone else. And when you look at that roster, they're not super talented. I think that's just the best bet for this Bears defense to find ways to get off the field is by forcing them to beat you without Garrett Wilson. And I don't know if the Bears have what it takes to really slow down Wilson just because of the injuries in the secondary, the inability to rush a passer, but we'll kind of get to that as we can. But that's just my first key and really a player that I'm sure the Bears have star circled and underlined in their notes as like someone that they must find a way to stop here on Sunday. What's your second key, Nick?
Absolutely. Well, actually, I'm going to go a little out of order to kind of build off what you were just talking about with Garrett Wilson, but the secondary has to be in sync for this game, and that's because we don't know who's going to be playing at this point. We have two did-not practices for Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon for the concussion protocol, so on Sunday, you may see Jalen Jones out there in the slot and Kendall Vildor on the outside primarily in this game, and then at the opposite safety position of Eddie Jackson, most likely you're looking at DeAndre Houston Carson if the two rookies can't play on Sunday. And again, you were just highlighting Garrett Wilson, what he's been able to do for the Jets offense. And Mike White, when he was playing last year, for some reason the Jets showed some life offensively, were able to score and move the ball a little bit more effectively than definitely what you saw last week from Zach Wilson against the Patriots. So if that's going to be something that the Bears have to deal with, not having two of their starters in the secondary, man, that makes communication that much more important on Sunday. Don't allow these big plays to happen because you thought somebody was going to be in a spot, but you just were not on the same page. So that's going to be big in this one. We'll get a final injury report here probably in the next hour or two from the Bears, and we'll see exactly what's going on there. But right now, two did-not practices for Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon heading into Friday, and we'll see what happens later today.
Yeah, if both can't play, that looms large. I think if you get Brisker back, that gives us the biggest boost, but not to Sly like Kyler Gordon because he's been, you know, at the second half of the season, been playing better too. And Nick, you talked about Mike White coming in last year and like being able to like run and orchestrate this offense. He was able to beat Burrow and the Bengals last year. And that's actually the one thing that I do fear this week for the Bears is that the Jets getting this spark by getting a new quarterback thrust into place because they've been kind of stalling. And when you do that and you put in another quarterback, which I was reading some quotes and about like the Jets defense, like this team in this locker room is actually kind of like, they like Mike White. They like playing for this guy. So it's not like you're throwing in a no name that they don't care about. Mike White, someone that's respected in the locker room, and they actually care a lot about inside of it. So I do fear that. And it's just two different early scenarios for the Bears, say if it is backup versus backup, right? Because the Jets can get like a spark by putting in this backup because of what they've been, you know, unable to do with Wilson and has put up points. But for the Bears, who have been really racking up the points with Justin, and Justin's playing as like one of the best quarterbacks in the league, to lose him for Trevor Siemian is a huge like gut punch blow. And it just, I think, has opposite effects to offensive units. And that's, I think, a big thing this week.
No, it definitely is, Will. Like you can't over overcomplicated, or you know, just that's going to be a factor no matter what. So and it just seemed like when I was watching, like, Zach Wilson miss some of these throws, you saw some of the receivers interaction, like, what's kind of going on here? So that lift that they might get from Mike White could be beneficial, at least for maybe for this week against the Bears. I'm going to go on to my last key on defense, and it's just really contain Michael Carter, the running back there. He didn't do much against the Patriots last week, and obviously, you know, only putting up 3 points. The offense for the Jets wasn't doing much at all. But in the win against the Bills, that 20-17 win the week prior, you saw some tough running from Michael Carter. And it's going to be like a dual back system with Breece Hall, you know, with the ACL injury. I think it's Robinson's the other guy that they use, you know, in tandem there. But you saw Carter was able to get to the edge in that Bills game. There's some toss plays, got vertical, finished the runs with physicality. You could get the edge on the Bears defense. There is no doubt about that. With how these ends are playing right now, you could get the edge. So if Michael Carter is able to factor into, you know, the way he factored the game against the Buffalo Bills, then the Bears are going to have a problem there, because you would love to make the Jets one-dimensional, but this Bears defense is making every offense multi, you know, functional of what they're allowing offenses to do. So if Michael Carter can get that edge, which I think he's going to be able to, we could have a problem. And you're missing possibly one of your starting corners and in the secondary. So that's where things, missed tackles can definitely be a factor in this one.
And he can be effective as a receiver. Carter can. He's had 45 yards a game, not average, but like he can go up to that degree. And he doesn't have a huge impact, but he can be very effective. And I went back to last year, and I was trying to figure out, like, you know, like Mike White's utilization of his targets. His best game last year, Mike White, he went to Carter through the air 14 times for 9 completions for 95 yards. So they have some good chemistry. He does like to rely on the running back in the passing game too. So I do think that's an extra wrinkle that we need to kind of keep in mind here this week. I'll get into my second key here real quick too on defense, which is just don't break. And look, I don't see how the Bears are going to score a lot of points themselves. So really, in order to win this game, the Bears just need to find a way to keep their opponent out of the end zone. And for a defense that has allowed, and I'm starting to laugh here, but 35.5 points per game over their 4-game losing streak, I don't know how I feel about it. The Bears have been the 6th worst defense in the red zone this year. And look, the Jets only score 19 points per game. That's 22nd in the league. And over their last 3, they're dead last in the NFL, only scoring 13.3 points per game. But you just mentioned it, and then I doubled down about the potential spark that Mike White can bring an offense and kind of kickstart this unit that has been stalling as a bit. And it's the Bears' job to make sure that doesn't happen. But like you said, like making offenses multifunctional, I just don't have a lot of hope here personally. And when you look at this Jets offense, they haven't been bad at moving the ball downfield this season. They have been bad at moving the ball downfield this season. 5th worst yards per game, 4th worst over the last 3 weeks. But the Bears defense is being so bad, I just don't know if I can actually confidently say they'll get off the field consistently enough. I expect the Jets to find some holes, make some plays, get into scoring position. It'll just be up to the Bears to force them to settle for field goals and not allow touchdowns. Because if they do allow touchdown after touchdown, I think this game will be over rather quickly. And the Bears just need to keep this game as low scoring as possible. If you just look at the last 4 games for the Jets, win 16-9, loss 17-22, win 20-17, loss 3-10. These are low scoring games. They're keeping offenses, the Jets are, at low numbers. And then, of course, they've been struggling themselves to put up points. So if the Bears are like that defense that the Jets find a way to score 24 plus points on with a banged up Justin or a backup Trevor, I just don't see how it's possible.
No, I don't either, Will. I mean, this is a good game for Mike White to come in, right? To, you know, get his first start of the season. And the Jets, again, are still fighting for, you know, playoff position. 6-4 right now, but this is a really good opportunity for them to get things right offensively against a Bears team that can't stop anybody at this point.
No. All right, let's get into our Bears bold predictions now, brought to you by Green Ridge Farm. Nick, do you want to hear my crazy, get out of town, just log off and never come back on the podcast bold prediction or my real bold prediction?
I mean, you know, we need to bring some excitement to this game because I think it's a little lacking with no Justin Fields, no Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. Just bring the whatever this bold prediction is, Will, because it's going to be a lot better than what I got.
You're just going to fall to your chair when I say that the Bears are going to allow zero sacks on offense, no matter who's at quarterback.
Oh, my. Oh, boy.
I told you that's like the no way in hell kind of bold prediction. Like, no, they can't. No way they're going to keep. We've seen it, though, like in games, maybe not for the Bears, but I've watched football games and we're like, wow, this quarterback hasn't been hit. He's been average going down 5 times a game against, and this is a really good defense. I don't really envision that this Sunday. You talked about the stunt on the very first play that you saw. Like it's gonna happen real quickly. My real bold prediction, though, is 125 plus total yards and 2 touchdowns for David Montgomery. That's gonna be my actual official bold prediction. I just wanted to at least make you laugh or just make you feel like, you know, I'm believing in the impossible and miracles this week. I don't know.
Hey, you know, that second one with David Montgomery, though, like he's going to be such a factor, a focal point for this Bears offense that I think that's obtainable. And, you know, even despite whoever's playing at quarterback, for me, I'm going defensively here. I think Jalen Johnson, here we go, is lined up one-on-one with Garrett Wilson at the 5-yard line. And he comes away with an interception and one-on-one coverage, takes away a possession from the Jets, who are marching down the field on this fake scenario that I have going on in my head. And Jalen Johnson gets an interception, goes up and intercepts the ball from Mike White, intended for, again, Garrett Wilson in the end zone. Bears get the ball at the 20 and punt 3 plays later.
See, the second half is like the most believable the entire thing. But I'm happy about the interception and the turnover, and very disappointed in the Bears offense in your fake scenario that you just came up with. But of course, our bold predictions brought to you by Green Ridge Farm, one of my favorite sponsors that we have here on the show, partners that we have here on the show. And I know they're a big partner for us during our tailgates. Again, we have another tailgate coming up on the 4th of December before the Bears take on the Packers. We'd love for you to join us, hang out with us before that game. Link is in the description below for that tailgate. And of course, Green Ridge Farm is going to be providing some, you know, tasty sausages and meats for us at that tailgate. I was talking up last week that cheddar jalapeno sausage that I had walking to Soldier Field a week ago that kind of kept me warm in the cold, but not too spicy. It was like right in that middle ground. But I know you have some more that you want to share about Green Ridge Farms, and everyone in the chat, I'm sure, is already waiting for all the meat stick talk.
Oh, absolutely. Green Ridge Farm First is a Chicago local meat and cheese company that offers a better all natural option. Green Ridge Farm are the makers of all natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, happy hours, and school lunches. Also have 16 grams of protein per stick, perfect for that post-workout snack. And you can find them at your local Costco, Sam's Club, Chicagoland grocery store, you name it, you can probably find it. And right now, when you order any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free, simply by using code CHGO at checkout. Go get your meat sticks, your sausages, whatever you need. Green Ridge Farm has got you, and let me tell you, they are delicious. I need to actually order some more meat sticks for a trip to New York this weekend. That would be the perfect snack to have during the game.
And the flight. What about just a package of meat sticks on the flight? You can hand them off to the people around you, spread the word. You'll be like the most popular man on the plane if you're passing around Green Ridge Farms meat sticks on the flight.
Yes, just passing around my meat sticks. Yep, just on the plane. Just
everyone's getting a bite of Nick's meat sticks on the plane. All right, let's talk about Game Time. They are the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? At the 50-yard line? Maybe courtside? What about behind home plate? Floor seats at a concert? It's all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats that you thought you could never buy. And you won't find a better deal this season on the Chicago Bears, heck, the Bulls, Blackhawks. We're getting some full-swing sports here in Chicago. And you won't find any better deals on our teams than you will on Game Time. They were created by the fans for the fans, and they guarantee the lowest price. And if you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time too. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in your description, both here on YouTube and your podcast player of choice. So to join over the 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right, this is the CHGO Bears podcast. Will DeWitt, Nicholas Moriano giving you our weekly in-depth Chicago Bears game preview. Nick has done passing around his meat stick, and he's ready to tell us about his weekly X Factor. Nick, what is it?
Oh, man. It's simple here. It's the O-line protection. Six sacks the Jets had versus the Patriots. And look, this is an offensive line last week against the Falcons that, you know, was not a very good defense in terms of applying pressure to the quarterback. But Atlanta had 17 total pressures on Justin Fields. Will, that was tied for the third most Fields has faced all season. That was against the Atlanta Falcons. So what could the Jets do on Sunday with their, you know, repertoire of guys that can come in and out of the lineup that are able to win their one-on-one matchups? I am terrified at whoever's playing quarterback there, but if the O-line magically is close to anywhere near your bold prediction, Will, then, you know, that's huge for the Bears. But realistically, I don't see that playing out in the Bears' favor, but that is the X factor. If there's no O-line protection whatsoever, this could be one of those ugly games for the Bears. If it somehow plays above expectation, hey, there's a ball game here. There's a ball game here because, again, the Jets, even though they are at 6-4, it's like, I don't know if they're that as good as their record indicates, even though they do have a really good defense there. But it's the O-line protection, Will. If it is bad as I think it can be on Sunday, it's going to be a very ugly game.
Look, what makes it easy to talk about this Jets matchup is that their current situation is so identical to what the Bears have always been. Really good defense with an offense that can't do enough to win more games than not. Quarterback issues, you name it. Like, we've seen it. Like, we know how it feels to have a good defense and have that be squandered because an offense can't reach that 20-point mark on a consistent basis. And I'm happy you taught me something about Justin Fields and the pressures against the Falcons. I didn't know how bad that ranked when you look at the season. And you, like, when you look at the Falcons and the Jets and what they've been able to do in terms of, like, pressuring quarterbacks this year, like, it is a true statement to say they're on exact opposite ends of the spectrum. The Falcons were, like, the worst, and the Jets were, like, one of the best this year. So that worries me a bit more than I actually was worried about 20 minutes ago when we started talking about some of these keys. But I'll get into my X factor, which is adaptability. You're not going to know like what we're actually going to get from this Jets offense with Mike White at quarterback until we're out there on Sunday. They may show you some new things, find success that way, and also get that spark that we're talking about with him getting injected into the lineup. But whatever it is, the Bears are going to have to adapt and make adjustments on the fly. And the Bears offense themselves, this is a whole week of adapting. No matter who's at quarterback, your game plan is going to be not what we've seen since the mini bye. Justin's not going to be able to bail you out with his legs. He shouldn't be called upon to run if the Bears end up playing him. And they're just going to have to rush the traditional way and beat this defense potentially from the pocket. So adjusting the scheme to protect Fields or set up Trevor for success or his best chance of and for success is going to be necessary. And just for the Bears being hard-headed, being unable to roll with the punches, it's not going to cut it this week. It's not going to cut it early most weeks. But I think the Bears' ability to be like malleable and adapt to the situation at hand is going to be huge in this one. And if not, really, and if they can't adapt to life without Justin or an injured Justin, it's going to be very difficult to come out with a win this week. So that's why I think adaptability is crucial and why it's my X factor for this game.
Ooh, I like it, Will. I think too. Oh, what are you oohing about? What's going on?
Got a $10 super chat from Vibin' with the Dogs. I did see another one coming too. And I want to make sure that I mention that too, because it's the same person. So Vibin' with the Dogs gave us a $4.99 super chat earlier, and now it's a $9.99 super chat. So this first one, I'll just mention it. I know it's not on the screen, so I apologize, but I don't think Justin should play because of Jets front seven and his shoulder being bad. And I think you can tell by Nick and I's conversation, we're right there with you. And then the $9.99 that just came up was that he sees this one being like the Commanders game. Protection's going to be very bad. All the more reason why Justin shouldn't play. And he's okay with watching Trevor Siemian on Sunday. And again, I'm right there with you. Like, There's no reason to put Justin at harm's way whatsoever at this stage of the season. And we'll see how it all kind of plays out. But I know, Nick, you feel very similar.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a whole column about it on allchgo.com about how the Bears should approach, you know, especially this game with all the stats we just read about the Jets defense. And like right now, it was just 2 days ago, Justin Fields, he was hurting just handing the ball off, Will. Like it hurt him to hand the ball off. And, you know, he's still obviously going through the motions, getting a lot of treatment. And he was throwing passes yesterday and has been since the injury. But it just, for me in this game, you're 3-8. You're a 3-8 football team. What, obviously, the benefit of him playing is experience. That's, Matt Eberflus really does value that. The experience you get in each game, like, that's big for him. And it, you can definitely learn from playing, but there's also the long-term impact that could potentially affect Fields' ability to still learn and develop in the offseason if he's getting surgery and can't do anything. Right. So this is just not the week to mess with that, man. And even if he's not ready for Green Bay, as much as I would like to see Fields play that game, and with it being on my birthday, like, it would be great to see him play. But if he's not well, I agree with, you know, our the super chat there. Like, just don't do it this week.
Exactly. Don't you dare do it. You want to go back to the one liner. All right, let's find out who has the edge, and I'm up first this week. I got that Bears passing attack versus Jets pass defense. Here is the average stat line allowed by the Jets this year on defense. 34 attempts, allowing 21 completions, 200 yards, less than a touchdown surrendered per game, over one interception taken per game, a 77.2 passer rating, and 3.2 sacks a game. And over the last 3 weeks, quarterbacks have been sacked on 15% of their dropbacks against the Jets, which is the highest mark by and large. There's just no way, Nick, no way I can give the Bears the edge against this unit that gets after passers like that. They also allow the second fewest passing touchdowns this year. It's a tough matchup when the Bears were fully healthy. And since there's injuries at the quarterback position, you're just not going to be able to have it here this week. So the Jets have the glaring edge this week here, their pass defense having over the Bears' ability to throw the ball here this week. I do think, you know, if Trevor plays, he can play within his system. He can keep a rhythm going, and maybe he'll put up yards. Again, the Jets allow 200 passing yards per game, but it's been very tough for opposing quarterbacks to find the end zone against this Jets defense, and I don't think the Bears will have that up the snuff this week to get it done. So those are all the reasons why I'm giving this one to the edge, over to the Jets. What about you, Nick, with that Bears rushing attack without Justin, without Herbert, against this Jets run defense?
Yeah, well, it doesn't look so good, right? And I think the Bears could be a little one-dimensional in this game if they do take away the passing attack, whatever it may be, however they become one-dimensional. I just don't think they're going to be effective in either way they try to move the ball on Sunday. So I'm giving it to the Jets and their rushing defense against the Bears. I know David Montgomery's going to be factored into it. We talked about it. He could see a heavy load, and even in the receiving game as well with those checkdowns, if it is Trevor Siemian, but I just don't see it being effective yardage. They might do it a lot, but not gaining a lot in when it all's said and done. So when I look at it, it's going in the Jets' favor, and it should with this Jets defense going against a Bears offense that it's going to be very limited. You're taking away possibly two of their best, you know, rushing elements, and Khalil Herbert's gone. We still don't know about Fields right now, but can't imagine he's going to be doing a lot of running, or Luke Getz is going to call it up if he is playing on Sunday. But I'm going with the Jets on this one.
All right. We'll flip sides of the ball here. Jets running attack versus that Bears run defense. Man, Nick, looking at this one, here's how I'm going to frame this. The Jets rushing attack doesn't scare me by itself. If I look at the Jets offense objectively and the rushing game objectively, they don't worry me. What worries me is the Bears run defense themselves. They just can't stop anyone on the ground. Ninth worst unit over the last 3 weeks, fourth worst run defense on the entire year. And if you look back over the last 3 weeks, like, you're like, oh wow, they only allowed 77 yards to the Dolphins on the ground. Let's remember that game. The Dolphins shredded the Bears through the air. They did not have to run the football. Things are way too easy through the air. And look, the Falcons, last week had two running backs that had over 50 yards each. And it doesn't even need to be a bunch of yards. I think the Jets will be able to get key pickups on the ground when needed to allow the Bears to stay on the field on defense. And the Bears have proven they'll allow a key run all season long. And Nick, you talked about it very in depth earlier about the Jets and Carter and the ability to probably get the edge against this Bears defense, like on the field, which is another reason why I'm going to give them the edge here in this segment. And if the Bears don't have Brisker and Gordon, those are also two key run defenders for this team. And it's unfortunate that I have to say, like, two secondary guys are, you know, solid run defenders because they've been asked to do so much. But it's true this year with the Bears defensive line not getting the job done. Jack Sanborn's going to have a big task this week too, but this one's going to the Jets, like, any way I cut it. And it's really more on the Bears run defense than what the Jets have been able to do on the ground themselves. Nick, over to you. Final one, Jets passing attack with Mike White versus Bears pass defense with, as we know, a couple injuries are keeping things uncertain.
Yeah, a couple injuries and a non-existent pass rush. Will is still there for the Bears, and they might also be without two of their key players in the secondary with Gordon and Brisker. So I'm giving it to the Jets. I don't know what we're going to see out of Mike White, but I just don't. I also know what I'm not going to see from the Bears pass rush. And on top of that, with the injuries in the secondary, it could be some of those big plays happening because of a key communication breakdown, something of that nature. But I'm going to give it to the Jets here. There's a lot of uncertainty, however you look at it, but I'm going to go with the Jets playing at home here.
Okay, wow, that's a sweep. We haven't had that in a long time. Wow. Maybe at all this season.
And the Jets, out of all freaking teams, the Jets, like, oh, man. Like, I think that's how you know it's bad, and that's kind of unfortunate.
It is, but we live with the situation at hand, and we're going to be adaptable here, which is, again, my X factor for the Bears this week. I see Bragg's in the chat. What's going on, Greg? He likes my haircut. It was way too overdue. And then talking about how your face looks a little naked, like without the stash and everything, and mentions that he, I'm sure, by, you know, like by midnight, he'll grow back, which is true. You're a werewolf, and it comes back rather immediately. Like, you don't have a 5 o'clock shadow. You have like a noon or a 1 p.m. shadow.
Yeah, it's already starting to grow back. By the time it's, you know, the Bears kick off, I'll probably have my beard back. But appreciate it, Greg.
All right, let's talk about some Shady Rays, which is one of my favorite partners here, because I've been a customer of theirs for years, and they just never understood like why sunglasses were so darn expensive. So they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall, because our friends at Shady Rays, they have you covered. They are premium polarized shades. They feature world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. And the best part about Shady Rays is they have an insane protection program and all of eyewear, which is lost and broken replacements. If you lose or somehow break these, you know, so durable shades on day one, day two, 100, you name it, they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Whether you drop it in a lake, off a cliff, anything, they will replace your shades. And as I mentioned every week, but I love to just hit this point home, they provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every single order placed. They have donated over 20 million meals to date. So not only are you doing a lot of good for like your style and protecting your eyes from the UV light, you're also doing a lot of good here fighting hunger in America. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays, they're running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. You can redeem this only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Well, I got to tell everybody about DraftKings, and here's a scenario for you. Cairo Santos is lining up for an onside kick. The chances of her gaining possession are slim. The stakes are high and the tension is even higher. Your pulse racing. He kicks and you watch the ball as it lands. Make every play feel this exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and their unbeatable offers. Right now, new customers can make any $5 bet and get $200 free in free bets if your team wins. And check this out, in addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. And honestly, you guys, I'm not touching this Bears Jets game with these bets. Maybe the under is where I would go on this one, but if you're looking to maybe get those free bets and, you know, 150, 200 bucks, like maybe go to a different game, to be completely honest. But first, you have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code CHGO to get those free bets. If your team wins, just place a $5 bet on any football game only at DraftKings Sportsbook using code CHGO.
All right, let's continue talking about some DraftKings and let's talk about some over-unders. Now, I need to be transparent. These are ones that I made up this week. And by made up this week, I mean I just made them up as you're going through that read, Nick, because when I logged onto the DraftKings app, they don't have any player props for the Bears this week because they just don't know who the hell's playing quarterback. Mike White was just announced the other day, and DraftKings isn't touching this game either, is basically what I'm gathering here. So I have a handful that I just came up with as you are talking, and we can burn through them real quickly. So for the Bears, I'm setting the line at 184.5 passing, over under on 184. The Jets do give up 200 yards per game through the air, but I wanted to drop it a little bit further to maybe entice you, but your face says it all.
I am going under on that, Will. I'm not trusting anything with passing yards this game.
What about 199.5 passing for Mike White? Would you touch that?
You know, even that seems a lot, and I know this is the Bears defense we're talking about. I'm going under as well.
Okay. I think I would go on those last two under, over, just because I don't know about this Bears' ability to stop any offense doing anything. 65.5 rushing for David Montgomery.
How much was it at?
65.5.
65.5. Does he get that over the course of four? No, I'm going under as well. I'm going under.
Okay. I'm saying over, and that's just because we need it to be over. And it may be because they run them 65.5 times.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, that may be it. I really don't know. For David Montgomery, what about 29.5 receiving?
That seems a little high. I'm keeping expectations super low, Will. I'm going under again.
24.5 receiving for Komet.
Shoot. I like what Komet's been doing lately. I'll take the over on that. 25.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Hey, you know, Simeon's going to have to throw to someone. Why not be number 85 in the middle of the field on some of these quick passes? So there we go. What about for Garrett Wilson? I may have put this one too low now at second thought. 54.5?
I think he goes over that, but not by too much.
Okay. And then for Michael Carter for the Jets, his total yards, because we mentioned he can do some damage on the ground and through the air. I put it at 99.5 straight up.
So Robinson, like, obviously we were talking about James Robinson also factors into that, but I think you can get that mark there. So I'll go over on that. Well, I'll give you, again, you taking the under at 38.5, 38.5 at minus 110. That's where I put my money. That would be my play of the week for DraftKings. If you're trying to bet on this game specifically, take the under at 38, 30.5 for minus 110. That's where I'm going.
I'm right there with you. I hit on my little three-leg parlay with yesterday's outcomes, which I felt really good about.
Nice.
Got some money to play with this weekend. I still don't know if I'm touching this game. And if I do the under, I may even tease it and maybe bump it up to like 42 or something and just add it in a parlay. Because, I mean, no way it's over that. Like, I feel good about where it's at standard. But if I just give myself a little extra padding, like, feel really good about having a safe leg in there. But that's when things fall apart, when you get too comfortable. But I'll digress. All right, let's find out who's going to be the MVB this week. Most valuable Bear. I feel like there's only one real answer, but you can tell me otherwise.
I know who you have, but I'm going defense here. I'm going with Jalen Johnson. I'm going with Jalen Johnson here as my MVB. Even though there might not be much passing, but I think he can factor in this game. And I think he needs to, Will. Like, obviously he got the fumble recovery after Jaquan Brisker punched the ball out of Cordell Patterson's hand in the Falcons game. But I need to see more out of Jalen Johnson. I don't think he's been as dominant as he was in the beginning of the year. And don't allow Mike White, Garrett Wilson to be the guys that, you know, they kind of get this passing game where they want it to be against you, right? You're going to be down a couple guys in the secondary. possibly. So if you're that top guy in the secondary, which he is for the Bears, you need to show it. We need to see it kind of happen with those one-on-one matchups. And so when it's all said and done, Jalen Johnson, MVP.
There you go. I love you holding Jalen to a higher standard because you're right. His level of play has not been what we saw earlier this season. I just remember the first few weeks, like, no one's throwing to Jalen Johnson. Like, he was giving up, like, no receptions. Quarterbacks were just shying away from him. That hasn't been the case, and we need to get back closer to what we saw earlier than where we have been. So I honestly appreciate you kind of holding him up to a higher standard because I haven't heard too many people talk about him in that regard just yet. My MVP, I'm going to go offense, and I'm just going to go David Montgomery because, like, he's just the guy. Like, I expect him to be force-fed all game long, which may not be ideal, but he's just the easiest person to get involved on offense. Like, we know the Bears' top three players, David Montgomery, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney. Those are your best players. But with little to no time in the pocket to work with, just getting the ball out to David Montgomery will be easy, whether you're handing it off, whether you're throwing out to him in the flat, getting him involved in a running back screen game, him having to do some extra work as a pass protector in this game too, as doing some max protects. Like, he's going to be very important to the Bears here this week. And I just expect with him this being force fed, as I mentioned, all game long, I can see him going over 100 total yards between his receiving and his rushing. I don't know if he'll, be able to find pay dirt and help us get a lot of points up on the board because this Jets defense in the red zone is very good. And I don't know how many times the Bears actually be able to march inside the 20. But regardless, at the end of the day, we'll look at the Bears offense and be like, well, that wasn't great. But at least David Montgomery had himself a good game. So that's why I think Montgomery will be the MVP this week. And this all leads us to our game picks. Nick, tell me why the Bears are going to win.
Oh, why? Oh. Just putting it on the end there. I don't think the Bears are going to win, Will. Unfortunately, I just think with the uncertainty at the quarterback position, guys being on the secondary, what that Jets defense can do, I think the Jets do end up winning this one in a close game because, like I said, I don't think the Jets are as good as their record indicates, but might be a get-right game for their offense on Sunday. I have the Jets winning this one 20-17, coming away with the victory. And again, when I made this prediction, I don't know if I even really made it with Fields in mind or Simi. Like, it was just so hard for me to really come to, exactly what the Bears are going to do. Like, an injured Fields, I'm just not liking how that can play out with Simeon. Maybe he gets this offense moving with those checkdowns and is able to maybe create some offensive drives that actually equate to points. But in the end, I think the Jets do win this one 20-17.
Wow. That's more points than I thought you were going to give actually in this game. Super chat from Aaron said he should have kept the stash. I appreciate the super stash. Can we call it a super stash?
Ooh, super stash. I like that.
Super stash. For me, I'm right there with you. Although, I'll be very honest. So I have the Jets winning. But damn it, Nick, I almost had this whole preview and talked about all the reasons why I'm worried. And having the Bears win because of that coin toss schedule prediction for the Jets that's still accurate, that has them losing this game this week. And I almost wanted to go with the power of the coin, but I'm going to go with my mind, ration, and reason this week. And I have the Jets winning 17, Bears 10. And this is how I look at it. This Bears defense, they're going to give up more points to a struggling Jets offense with a new quarterback and that potential boost than the Jets defense is going to allow that unit that has been playing lights out for New York against a Bears offense, either with a hobbled Justin Fields or with Trevor Siemian trying to pass the ball. It just doesn't match up well. And we kind of talked about earlier about like how these are like two offenses getting opposite effects to a quarterback change, and I think that looms large here too. So really it's all about who has the better defense, and the Jets have that by and large this week. So Jets 17, Bears 10, and seeing the Bears only score 10 after multiple games of like 30 plus is gonna really suck. But if it's Trevor, if it's Justin, I don't know. I mean, if Justin's out there, I can see the Bears scoring more points with him and his ability to like throw the ball and maybe buy some extra time. I just don't want to see him out there to take extra hits. I really don't. Like, I know he's a tough SOB and he will be out there if he feels able to, but I still wish they would protect him from himself. He's just an elite competitor, and I don't blame him. And honestly, I respect the hell out of it. I just think it's just not the week to do it.
No, it's not. We've said that, you know, a couple times, and I think a lot of people agree with that. I know there's, you know, some people that would like to see him still play, and I get it. Like, you want to see Justin Fields play. Like, an injured Justin Fields gives the offense a better chance than I think Trevor Siemian. To be completely honest, just because of his playmaking ability, what he could do, like, he can still run outside the pocket. It's just, can he sustain and hold up to the hits that are going to come with it? Because he's not getting the flags, you guys. Doesn't matter if he slides. He's still not getting the flags that other quarterbacks will get. So that's the thing right now. But, yeah, it's an unfortunate circumstance the Bears are in, but they need to be smart about how they approach this moving forward, because he's not being put on IR. Like, he's not a candidate for IR. So there's a chance we see Justin Fields at some point. Just shouldn't be this week against the Jets.
Yep, don't you dare do it. Nick, what is the confidence meter here for you this week? Obviously, we're both under 5. I'm at a 4.
Okay, a 4. I'm at a 4.7, just where, or 4.5, wherever I put in there, about where, you know, how close this game could be. But in the end, we're both below that line, have the Bears losing. If they do win, if they were to win this game, would it be a crazy surprise? I don't know, because again, it's the Jets. It's the Jets, right? That's what I think. And we had, you know, everything in the Jets' favor earlier in the matchups, right? But that's what Mike White being the backup, not having a very good offense. They have that good defense, but if the Bears were to somehow win, we'd be like, oh, okay, it was weird. Like, the first word I started this podcast with, it was weird. But yeah, I still think, you know, 4.5 is where I'm at in the confidence of the Bears actually being able to pull this off.
Wow, look at you being more confident than me. And I think that may be a couple weeks in a row, which is very unorthodox for us. I don't know how many times you've actually had like more confident streaks than Will throughout our podcasting careers, honestly. But yeah, I'm just not feeling great about it. And that's why it's only at a 4. Like, I didn't drop it down to a 2 or anything, because like you, like, if the Bears somehow pull this one out, like, would I be like severely surprised? Yes and no. It would really depend on like how the win came. Like, if you blow out the Jets, yeah, I'm going to say I'm surprised. If you squeak by a field goal somehow at the end and you get a turnover that changes the game, okay. I mean, that's the recipe to success. Steal possession, give yourself a short field. We've seen it happen more times than not. I saw a super chat come in from Aaron wondering, how we feel about Fields. I love the guy. Happy he's here in Chicago. I believe he's a franchise quarterback. And I'm not even saying future franchise quarterback. I believe he is a franchise guy. And as I mentioned too, I love his elite competitiveness, his ability to really want to be out there. And also this week, I just, like, we saw Justin blossom, Nick, as a player on the field over the last month. And that's been awesome. Mm-hmm. But what we've heard come out of Hollis Hall and what, you know, been able to kind of collect, I think we've seen a lot of leadership growth over this 1 week. And I think that is equally as valuable as what we've seen on field too. And for him to step up as a leader on this team, take accountability, the defense having his back, and just the camaraderie there, and like the culture in the locker room, and that's being built around Justin, that just gets me excited. So those are just some thoughts I have about Fields. I can do a whole podcast about how I feel about Justin Fields, but how about you, Nick?
Yeah, just see, look how Justin Fields handled adversity and also accountability as opposed to Zach Wilson, both 23-year-old quarterbacks. But Justin apologizing to his team after he actually helped that team, you know, we're in contention of winning that game. Obviously, he throws a pick at the end, but accounted for yards and touchdowns as opposed to Zach Wilson deflecting the question, saying no, right? Like, yeah, that's big. And even in a losing season, Justin Fields is showing amazing qualities that go a long way for the newcomers that will come to this team in 2023. Knowing the guy that they're going to play with. And yes, we want to see the passing game still improve. He wants to see it. Luke Getsy wants to see it. But I feel good about Justin Fields, where he's going, and what this offense could be for the Bears when they actually get some playmakers, some guys that can protect them, and things of that nature. So, yeah, Justin Fields, I think, is exactly what the Bears needed. And now they just need to make sure they go about it the right way in terms of just surrounding him with support. But the person, the leader, you're already seeing amazing things from Justin Fields.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect way to end today's episode. I hope you enjoyed Nick and I's in-depth Chicago Bears game preview. You feel more prepared for what's coming our way on Sunday. Maybe we're more prepared than the Bears will be. Hopefully not. We'll see how it all kind of shakes out. Before I sign off, I just want to give you one quick reminder about our Black Friday sale that's going on over the weekend. 50% off merch at the CHGO Locker. Spend $75, get a $15 gift card. And if you're a CHGO diehard, you also get an extra 20% off your order on top of our sales. You can get a gift card, you can get up to that 50% off and get an additional 20% off on top of it. So my best advice is go to allchgo.com today, sign up to become a diehard. You get a free t-shirt on top of that, by the way. You'll get a code for a free t-shirt. Then you can also take advantage of this sale and get an additional 20% off today's sale and any other purchase at the locker between now and forever, as long as you are a member, a diehard member of on allchgo.com. But we appreciate each and one of you. We will talk to you on Sunday, but have a great weekend. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, of course, and we'll see you soon. And until then, bear down, Chicago.